Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. A new report from the Annie E. Casey Foundation presents compelling evidence that the best way to help children living in poverty is to help their families. More than one in four children in North Carolina lives in poverty, many of them in families where no parent has beyond a high school education or a full-time year-round job. Here to talk about the new report and what state lawmakers should make of its findings is Rob Thompson with NC Child. Well, Rob, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, good to be here.
Let's talk about the new report about economic security for low-income children and their families. It's interesting that the Kids Count report, a lot of people might have heard of, but this one sort of takes it to the next level and talks about their families.
Yeah, it gets to the whole idea that it's really hard to raise healthy children if you don't have healthy, economically secure families to support those children as they grow up.
Before we get into this report and what it said about families, I think it's probably worth noting that it did re-emphasize how much we're struggling in North Carolina with children living in poverty.
Yeah, we've really got an unacceptably high child poverty rate here in North Carolina. It's really one of the highest in the country, but we're looking at about a full quarter of our children are living in poverty. And what that means is not only do they lack kind of resources and comforts that we'd want our children to be able to have, but as they grow older, their outcomes aren't as good. And so if we're really looking to the next generation for our leaders and our workforce, we need to do something about child poverty now.
I was really struck by a couple of the numbers. 79% of families where children are living in poverty, 79% of those families don't have a parent beyond a high school education.
Absolutely. It's a pretty stark reminder about how important an education is and what it can mean for a family's future economic success.
And what do we do about it? I mean, I guess that's the question with all these things. How do we help?
Well, it's a great question, and I think it's a complicated answer, but there are certainly things we can do to break this cycle that families often find themselves in, because one of the things we see is that children who are raised in poverty are much more likely to be adults in poverty. And one of the things that we can do is help parents rise up out of poverty by helping them find work and by providing them with employment and income supports that help them maintain their economic security. So child care subsidies are a great policy tactic that we have to help parents kind of get by in this world, as well as the earned income tax credit, another way that we can supplement working parents' income.
And yet we're living in a time when the earned income tax credit was allowed to expire, and actually the eligibility has changed, so now some families will be losing their subsidy instead of families gaining them.
Yeah, I think this report really came out at an important time for North Carolina, where we've made some policy decisions over the past year that have taken us in the wrong direction on this front. The earned income tax credit is one of the most effective tools we have at keeping children out of poverty. And child care subsidies, you know, child care is extremely expensive in North Carolina and really across the country. And these subsidies allow parents to go to work, make a living, and afford care, safe, quality care for their children. And we're saying now, no, you know, you have to be extremely poor to be eligible for these subsidies. And we're even going to cut the amount that we're going to reimburse you for these subsidies. And so you're making them much less effective and really undermining parents who are trying to work and raise up out of poverty.
Another statistic in the report, it's interesting because I think we could talk about it both ways, that 50% of the families where there's a child living in poverty, parent doesn't have a full-time, year-round job. So we still have a lot of people who don't have work.
There's so many challenges that face low-income families. So one is the jobs that are available are often, one, they're low-wage, but two, they're often very inflexible. So you can be called in at a moment's notice and you have to go in. And in that situation, if you don't have flexible child care, what are you going to do with your child? And these parents are put in very difficult situations where they have to make a choice between, do I go into this low-wage job where I'm not making very much money and leave my child alone, or leave my child in an unsafe care situation, or do I stay home, not take the job, and make sure my child's taken care of? And I don't know how you answer that question.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you could think about it, half the people don't have jobs because they face the struggles, but half the people are working full-time year-round and still are living in poverty. So it speaks to what you were saying before. There's a lot more than just having a job.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think we have to look at wages in this state and in this country. And well, we know that there are too many jobs out there with wages that are so low that you cannot raise a family successfully simply working a full-time job.
Have we gotten past, we hear this still occasionally, but somehow blaming these families for their plight? No, I don't think anybody blames the children, but I still feel like there's some blame for the adults for circumstances that many times they can't control.
Well, I think we often hear about, you know, these are jobs that are meant to be stepping stones to bigger and better things. And while I'm not an economist, my simple reading of the landscape is that those jobs simply aren't out there. And that the jobs that are out there right now are low wage, and the opportunities aren't there for parents to be able to make ends meet for their families.
We interviewed David Dodson with the State of the South, and he made some interesting points. So we hear stories about the North Carolina economy is recovering. We hear that from the governor and the legislature, that Charlotte and Raleigh are the best places to do business. But even in those urban areas, we see some of the same problems that this report is raising.
When we make claims about economic health, we have to be really clear about what that means. You know, different numbers tell different stories. And what economic health means to me and what I think it should mean to most North Carolinians is, how are our families doing? Are we able to have economically self-supporting families across the state that can raise children in homes that are economically secure? And that, to me, is the most important economic indicator, and I don't know exactly how you capture that. I think we have some examples in this report. But all these other things that we're talking about, to me, take backseat to how are our families doing in this state.
You mentioned that kids who grow up in poverty have a harder time. The report also identifies or points out that a significant percentage of children in poor families face developmental delays, extra struggles that we need to address.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think we've, as a state, actually kind of taken a couple steps backwards on this front. We have an early intervention program that's provides services for children 0 to 3 with developmental delays and disabilities. We've cut about 160 positions from that program over the past 2 years, along with $10 million. And again, these types of services are really there to make sure that children with these delays and disabilities can get on track, so that it's by the time they reach school, they're kind of at their grade level with the skills they have. And not all of them are going to get there, depending on their delay or disability. But we can really mitigate a lot of this early if we step in.
What is the message to policymakers when they see this? They see our rankings. They see the number of several hundred thousand children who live in poor families. What's the message you hope they get from this latest report?
The message I hope they get from this report is that if they care about children and really believe that children are going to be our next generation of leaders, doctors, lawyers, workers, whatever you want to say, we've got to start caring about the entire family unit. And we've got to worry about what parents are able to do in the workforce. And that means taking a look at wages, taking a look at working conditions, and making sure that our families are economically secure.
Well, let's hope that's what they take and do something about it. Thank you very much for what you're doing. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Up next, the state of the South when it comes to economic mobility. Stay with us.